Now, I want to talk a little bit about strategy before we start warming up. What is your strategy for warming up, for preparing for performance? Do you have a sense of that based on what you need to perform? I want you to write down the following terms. Write down energy / quantity. Below that, write down charge, charge, / quality. Charge / quality. And underneath that, write down alignment / presence. Alignment / presence. So when I'm warming up, my goal is to get into the optimal state for performance. And that will depend upon the performance, what I am performing, what that first scene is all about, or what the next scene is all about. I look at my energy quantity. Is my energy low? Is it balanced or is it high? How many of you have low energy right now? Raise your hand. Your energy is low. Anybody feel relatively balanced? Okay. Anybody high, like really wired, charged? Okay. Make a note of that for yourself next to energy and quantity, where your energy is right now. Now we have the charge and the quality of that charge. Charge can be negative, your charge can be neutral, and it can also be positive. Is anyone negatively charged right now? You have a negative charge of anger, anxiety, fear, sadness, okay? Who feels sort of neutrally charged? And is anybody positively charged? You're excited, you're curious, okay? Good. Make a note. And the last one is alignment presence. Does anyone feel fragmented right now, not fully present? Raise your hand. Okay, that's fine. Just make a note of that for yourself. So based upon how you answer those three questions, and this is an internal checklist, before I start my warm-up, my preparation, I always ask myself, what is present? How much energy do I have? What quality of charge is present? Am I in alignment? Do I feel like I have a state of integrity? Or am I fragmented? And if I'm fragmented, by what degree? And this is something that's going to take a while to figure out. Am I 50% present? Or am I 25% present? Or am I 80% present and connected? The more present and connected you are, the easier the access to your tools and resources, to know what you're feeling, what you're sensing, to have easy access to your creative impulses, to thoughts or images that might arise. Even a little bit of fragmentation is going to create resistance to access those tools and resources. You just make a note of it. Based on that, you need to make a choice right now as to what your strategy and your goal is. Do you need to integrate more, to align more, to become more connected and present? Do you need to discharge some of the negative charge that's present and then transform what's left toward neutral or positive? Do you need to bring your energy level up toward neutral or maybe up to a higher level than that? Do you need to bring your energy down from, I'm too wired, I have too much excess energy and I've got to bring it down so that I can focus? That's something that you must decide right now, okay? Take a second just to make a note about that. My strategy is, and look at those three areas. And it could be a multi-pronged strategy. Bring my energy up, discharge negative, transform, become more integrated, whatever that might be. Now, I have two more things I want to address before we start the physical action. We often have things on our mind. Now, our brain dump is supposed to help us discharge things on our mind so that they don't serve as a distraction. That's one way to do it. Here's another. I have a physical gesture, and the gesture is this. What I am doing is I imagine a bookshelf, either to my right, left, or in front of me, but you have to decide where that bookshelf is. This is in your mind's eye. And when I do this, I am putting something on my mind, taking it out of my mind and putting it on my shelf. Could be something on my heart. Could be a feeling, an unresolved argument that I just have with somebody. I put it on the shelf. This is another way of putting some distance between you by acknowledging this is what is present right now. And my intention is clear and specific. I'm going to put it over there for now. I know where it is. It's safe and sound. And I will come back to it later. Clear? So anytime throughout the class, something comes up, put it on the shelf. The physical action, it's like tossing a frisbee. The physical action helps your nervous system to acknowledge your intention. It's one thing to just mentally do it. It's another thing to add a physical action to it. And that makes it more tangible. If you are struggling with solving a problem or resolving an issue, and you have examined it three times pretty quickly in a short period of time, you haven't come to any new resolution. You're not changing the perspective. It's still there. Put it on the shelf. Walk away from it and come back to it later. And then look at it again and see what or how that perspective has changed. I like the analogy of writer's block. You know, you get to a point, you're writing, it's all very fluid, oh, I got great ideas, and then, boom, it stops. And you just feel stuck. Most writers that I have read about their process, and I always find that very interesting, talk about how they respond to writer's block. And this could be creative block of any kind, choreographing, composing, whatever. They usually get up and take a walk. They just set it aside, they put it on their shelf, and they walk away from it. And they do something else where they are in motion. Some of them say they take a shower. Some of them say, you know, I just shift my focus into doing something else, play with my dog or my cat or cook a meal, and then come back and lo and behold, no more block. They can re-engage with that process. So this is a really subtle but important strategy when you find yourself feeling stuck. You're focusing on a problem or you're trying to be creative. It's not changing. I'm not coming up with any solution. Put it on the shelf. Do something else for a while. Don't think about it. Give yourself that empty time and space and then come back to it. If you don't, you will begin to describe and re-describe the issue over and over again. But instead of resolving or solving the issue, all you do is create a narrative around the issue about how you're not getting anywhere, how it's not changing, it's not getting any better. And then that narrative can turn negative very quickly as self-judgment or self-criticism. I'm not smart enough to solve this problem. Okay? We all do it. We do it all the time. So I want you to be aware of that process. Now, the last thing is before you engage your process of activating your energy, warming up, preparing for performance, I find it important to acknowledge that this is for me. And I say this to myself internally before every class that I teach, believe it or not. I say, this is for me. I am warming up. I am preparing and activating for myself, not for you. And you're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for your parents. This is for you. But you have to make that distinction for yourself, because it will focus your energy more specifically. It will help you listen to yourself throughout your warm-up process. And this is really important. Today's class is all about listening to self. What am I experiencing? How is my energy shifting? How is that charge changing? Am I more connected, less grounded, off-center, balanced? Where am I now? And that's something that you observe within self throughout your preparation, because that will tell you what you need to do to get to the optimal performance, pre-performance state. Are you there yet? Now, sometimes you can warm up and it takes 15 minutes and you are primed, you are ready to go. Sometimes it might take you an hour. It depends on the intensity of your charge or how significant an issue or a problem is that you are struggling with right now. It can take a fair amount of time and focused effort to detach, to put things on the shelf, to acknowledge yet deeper levels of what is present and set those aside or transform them, so that by the time I'm ready to perform, I'm fully engaged, fully activated, present, and ready to go. Any comments or questions about any of that I just covered? If you're wearing a watch, take it off. There's no need to wear a watch for this class, and I find that it often serves as a distraction. Sheer.
It can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. If, let's say, it takes about 15 minutes to prepare, to warm up before performance, and you plan to do it about an hour and a half before because you don't know how long the preparation would take, what do you do to be able to stay in that zone?
Oh, this is such a good question. This is such a good question. I want you to think about like a race car. You are a very finely tuned machine or instrument. And with any machine or instrument, you know, you have to tune it, you have to prepare it before you're going to perform. If you peak in your performance, then you pull back. And instead of revving your engine, you're just going to idle. All right? You're just going to be aware of your breath, aware of your connection, aware of your energy level, but you're not going to let it go dormant again. You're not going to turn the engine off completely. And I say this because when you're working on film, most of your time is spent waiting to be called to film. And you don't know when they're going to call you. So your call may be at 4 a.m. and you may not even be called onto set until 4 p.m. But instead of just falling asleep, I prefer to keep my engine idling. That means I'm going to go over my lines. I'm going to go over my intention. I'm going to just move frequently but gently so that I don't get cold or become dormant. Because if you let yourself, you turn that engine off and it gets cold, they knock on your door and they say, "We need you now." And the first time that happened to me, I was not prepared. And so what happened was a jolt of adrenaline kicks in. I'm not ready. And whoa! And so now you've got this powerful adrenal surge, which is hard to manage. I mean, that just makes everything light up like high intensity. Well, what if the scene you're about to go do is not high intensity? Does not require that adrenal surge. Now you got to fight it. You're going to have to try and process that energy and bring it down to where you need to be. So that is why, and I learned the hard way, that is why I never let myself become completely cold. You're rehearsing in theater and they'll do a scene. You're not in this, you know, that scene. You're watching other people work. You should not just disengage completely. You should be gently keeping your engine running for when they call you. And if it looks like, okay, they're starting to wind down, and they say, okay, we're going to take a 5-minute break, and then we're going to work on the next scene that you are in, now you have to rev your engine up a little bit. You have to activate. That is a strategy for working throughout the day, depending on the medium and the context. Does that clarify that, Shir? Any other questions before we start activating? Okay, let's get on our feet. Oh, go ahead.
I have a follow-up question.
Yes.
Let's say said person has ADD or ADHD or some type of, gets very distracted easily.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips for how to?
It's all about grounding and centering. If you think about it, attention deficit is the result of the mental body fragmenting from the physical and emotional body in real time. Okay? So you fragment, you go away, and I'm still trying to give you direction, you're not going to hear it until you come back. So much about Tai Chi training is training the mind to stay anchored in the breath and in the body and in this space and time. I've had so many students over the years with ADD, ADHD, come in and say, I can't do this because I have ADD. Or, you know, I take medication for this and I don't think I'm going to be very good at this. What usually happens is after a year of this training, two semesters, is they find that they, A, don't need as much medication as they used to, and some of the students have stopped taking it altogether because they learned how to ground and center themselves and keep the mental body connected to what you're feeling, to what you're sensing in the present moment. Having said that, one reason why you go out of the body is that you get overwhelmed when you connect to the body. And that's, now we're looking at the charge that is present. If you are highly charged, and that could be either positive or negative, and you come into your physical body, and you feel overwhelmed by that charge, and you don't know how to process, you don't know how to discharge it, you don't know how to balance it, then you're going to pop right back out of your physical body again. Understand? And so that's often a result of feeling overwhelmed by my own feelings, my own sensations. So what we're talking about there is processing energy, dropping it and going, whoa, this is a lot. Okay, well, how about reducing the load a little bit? How about breathing and moving and discharging into the ground and bring that intensity down to a more manageable level so that you can keep the mental body grounded and anchored into the physical and emotional for a little longer. Then your strategy is endurance and tolerance. I have to be able to endure and tolerate longer and longer periods of being fully present. The only way to do that is to do some kind of work like this that requires that. Okay? One final word on that. If you pop in and you pop back out quickly, often it's because you don't feel safe being fully present. Either you don't feel safe in your physical body because you feel overwhelmed by the charge that is present, or you don't feel safe in your environment and you can't escape it. Well, you can't escape it physically if it's an environmental thing, but you certainly can escape mentally simply by projecting out of the body or into your imagination. In which case, you're no longer hearing the present. You're no longer feeling it at the same level, full level of intensity as you could. So if that's the case, and this is something you got to ask yourself that question, do I keep exiting because I don't feel safe? Is that true right now in my own space? Am I safe in my own space right now? Yes, that's the reality, that's the truth. But if it's a habit that you've been doing for a long time, and you don't ask that question, you won't ask that question. You'll just pop out. Okay? So you come in, you say, am I safe? Yes. Do I feel overwhelmed by what I am experiencing? Yes. Okay. Next step, discharge and balance. Let's get more toward a neutral state. The last thing about that is if you're charging yourself up habitually, it's kind of like a drug addict, you know, that feels, oh, my energy's low. Now I got to take a stimulant to bring my energy up. We can do that internally by reacting with anxiety, reacting to the near or distant future with fear. And that'll give you a charge. If you need to go to neutral and you're having a hard time, it's because you may discharge energy and then you're making more of the same. And because that's usually a habit. I know that was my habit for a long time. But I wasn't fully conscious that I was doing it. I just did it because I felt like that was the most familiar thing to do. So, discharge and stop making more of that charge. How do you do that? By shifting your focus away from the object of attention that you focus on and react to. Your emotional reaction is how you create the charge. Now, it's great to have those internal objects, and those could be memories of past experiences, that you know when you focus on that, you react to that with anger, you react to that with fear, you react to that with excitement and curiosity, okay? And that's part of that sense memory, you know, technique of using that to generate that kind of energy. But let's do it consciously instead of habitually, which is largely unconscious. It's just habit. The only way you're going to figure that out is by constantly tuning in and observing. What am I focusing on? How am I reacting? What charge am I creating? You're the creator of that energy. Any comments or questions on that? All right, let's activate on our feet. And take a deep breath in and stop writing. Okay. So how successful were you with your strategy? I want to hear from each of you. Colin, let's start with you. What was your strategy, your intent?
To align myself more and discharge some of the negative charge that I had.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it went very well. I thought it was very successful.
Excellent. Very good. Lyric.
So for me, I wanted to bring my energy up and just become more present. I think I definitely did bring my energy up a little bit, but not where I wanted to be. And I think I definitely was more present in the moment, especially when I was just writing, then felt more present.
Okay. So the issue of where you wanted to be, that's an expectation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll hit that mark. Sometimes you won't. Depends on the quality of energy that you want to build, your ability to connect and receive from source energy above and below, and your ability to transform energy that's already present. Got that? So you've done your preparation. Now you have to accept this is what you've got to work with right now. Because if you don't, and you go out to perform now with an unfulfilled expectation, that is going to create resistance. It's going to lead to more expectation. I think one of the biggest challenges for me as a performer was to accept, before walking on stage, that this is where I am right now. This is what I've got to work with right now. And let that be part of the process. Okay? Sheer.
For the moment, I had negative charge, and I also felt very fragmented. I definitely feel more neutral or more positive charge, and less fragmented.
Good.
I found myself getting random thoughts, but then I did the shelf.
Function. Yeah.
That helped.
That's great. So, that's good. Yeah. Very good. All right, Pupo.
I felt like very, very tired at the beginning of it. And that was like my only thing when we were doing the whole list between energy and quantity and like charge and quality. I felt very neutral for most of everything, except for like being a little bit tired. But once like the middle of the warm up, I was like really like I've been like really into it, and just I feel a lot more aligned with the whole lesson right now.
Excellent, Arthur.
I have a question before I answer. Should we strive for going neutral, or I'm not too sure.
What was your initial strategy?
My strategy is to bring up my energy and to bring in some positive charge.
Okay, were you successful at that?
I think the humming really helped with increasing the energy towards neutral.
Mm-hmm.
While my charge is still negative. Okay. But should we strive for neutrality, or should we just...
Well, it depends. I mean, if your goal is balance, then neutral is your destination. All right? And as I said to Lyric, you have an expectation. Sometimes you'll hit that mark, and sometimes you won't. So right now, your strategy is to acknowledge where you are right now and to accept that and continue to work on your strategy throughout the rest of the class. Bring the energy up a little bit, bring it a little more toward neutral, or transform. If the negative charge is not as intense as it was before, you're going in the right direction. If it's more manageable than it was before, now perhaps you want to transform that energy. And transforming that energy is called alchemy. It's changing energy from one state to another. And the way that I commonly do that, especially if I have a negative charge, I started highly charged negatively. I'm able to discharge and bring the intensity down, but there's still negative charge. But it's not as strong as it used to be, which means that I can probably transform it. And the way that I go about that is to embody gentle kindness within myself. I'm using that gentle kindness to transform the negative fear, anger, anxiety, sadness toward a gentle kindness. We can do this really quite easily, and as actors, you learn to do it really quickly. All right, to embody an intention and a quality of energy. By focusing on that, by breathing into it, by energizing that. So, again, the strategy with a negative charge, discharge till it's manageable and transformable. And if you're still not able to transform it, you might have to discharge a little more. All right? Now, we don't want to dump all our energy out, because that's like a sinking ship. There's nothing to keep you afloat. The idea is to bring it toward neutral and then transform it in the direction that you need to go for performance. Is that clear, Arthur? Yeah? Peter C.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My strategy was to try to maintain some balance that I've been trying to bring throughout the day from our earlier class. And to keep it a neutral place and bring any fragmentations away. And I think I was really able to do that. I think, like Arthur, that humming, that sound, that resonance helps to make those connections between heaven and earth and to bring everything actively with sound. It just, I don't know, it really helped bring it all to fruition.
So sound is vibration, just like vibrating the body. Sound is deep internal vibration that can break up stagnant energy. It can break up resistance and set it into motion. Humming or chanting, whether in prayer or meditation, is a way to activate that energy. Now, while you're doing it, if you were to focus on the quality of energy that you want to generate while you're humming, it'll amplify even faster. Okay, I didn't specify it because I just wanted you to hum and see how that felt. But if I'm humming with the intent of building gentle kindness inside my body, then it transforms in that direction a little faster and a little more easy. Now, it could be any energy or any state that you choose. If you have to get into a frantic state for your scene and you start humming frantically... You're going to amplify that. That's going to go deep into your body because it's literally generating waves of sound and energy throughout your cellular structure. It's a really powerful practice. Peter Zhao.
My strategy was to reclaim my lost energy and to keep the same charge and the same amount of presence I had already. I was successful on reclaiming some energy, but I failed
Good.
To be more present. I was kind of distracted.
Is your foot still bothering you?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, he stubbed his toe at the beginning of class, and that is a what we call a lit sensation. It's lit up. Now, when that happens, our tendency is to want to focus on that spot. Consider this. Energy follows focus. You focus on a lit sensation, you're energizing it. You're making it more energized. Is that your strategy? Or is your strategy to de-energize it so that the sensation becomes less intense? The way that I approach that kind of situation is not to focus directly on the sensation, but to focus through it. And when I say through it, if it's down to my foot, I am imagining energy flowing through my body, from my head, through my body, through the toe, into the ground. Every time my attention goes to my toe, I go through the whole body, through that point, and into the ground. And if you can do that, you can send a lot of the energy that tends to surround a sudden shock or injury out of the body and lessen the intensity. Okay? I was lying in bed one night, one morning I woke up, and I started to move, and my knee had a searing pain in it. And I thought, oh my God, I injured my knee in my sleep. Like, this wasn't there before, and it was really intense. And then I thought, okay, let me see if I can move this energy. So still lying in bed, I imagined lying in a stream. The energy was flowing through my body, through my knee, and out my foot. And a few seconds later, my ankle started to kill. I mean, it was like, oh my God, now my ankle's hurting, but my knee stopped hurting. And I realized it's moving. The energy moved from my knee to my ankle. Okay, now let me continue, go through the ankle, through the foot, and send it all the way to the brick wall at the end of my bed. And within a few seconds, my ankle and my knee were completely pain-free. That is not an uncommon experience when you're working energetically. So many of the physical sensations that we get. And, you know, I've taught this to cancer patients and surgical patients who, coming out of surgery, are in a lot of pain. And I'll have them breathe and imagine a fluid stream going through their body, soften, smile, breathe, receive energy from above, send it right through the body and beyond. And within a few minutes, their level of pain is much less. And in many cases, the pain disappeared altogether. Because when we receive a physical shock or injury, our energy will surround it to protect it. It'll mobilize at the site of trauma. And it can build or it can dissipate depending on your response. Am I going to continue to focus on that? It's like playing with little kids and they fall down, they hurt their knee, they're like, oh, my knee, and you distract them. Because little kids can be easily distracted. And suddenly their knee isn't hurting as bad anymore. Okay? But then if they focus on their knee again, they're like, ah, it's hurting again. Okay, unless you can distract. Okay, get up, let's walk around. Let's play hide and seek, quick! And then they get up and they're like, oh! They stop thinking about the knee. They stop focusing on the knee. They're no longer energizing the site of trauma. Because that energy can wrap around a site like an onion in layer after layer after layer. Then you got to peel a layer away, peel a layer away, peel a layer away before you can get the core energy to move. And the core energy that surrounds that site is fear. Because what happens when you hurt yourself, the first thought in your mind is, I'm hurt. Ah! Second thought is, I won't be able to take class. Ah! I can't put on my shoes. Whatever it is, that's a cycle that we all go through. All right? But that's how you become hypercharged very quickly. You focus on it, you describe a worst-case scenario, and you send so much energy to that site that it becomes bound in the body. Then it takes some processing to unbind it, move it, and resolve it. Jordan.
I was focusing mostly on getting my energy up because I felt low energy for most of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed at the very end, like when we were doing the hums, mostly, that was when my energy started picking up a little bit. So it's still not super, super high, but it's way higher than it was. And I also noticed that at the beginning, my energy was neutral, but it was leaning more towards negative.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we finished, it was still neutral, but it was leaning more towards positive.
Great. Very successful. Yeah. Even a small conscious shift is significant. Okay? And when you are acting, especially on film, you're often making small adjustments. But a small adjustment can make a huge difference to how you're telling the story to an audience. Understand? And a lot of that's internal. I'm going to focus a little bit more on this and a little less on that. The audience can tell that there's something going on. They might not know what it is, and they don't have to know what it is. You have to know what it is. And if your goal is to, you know, lighten it, make it a little more humorous, then even a small shift is significant. So the object is to be aware, to acknowledge the difference, and to utilize it, to work with it. I think everybody was pretty successful at that. Any other comments or questions before we take a five? Lyric.
So what do you think would be the best way to, like, if you're having, like, a bunch of takes and, like, you don't have much of a break, but, like, your energy's getting low, like, what would the best way to, like, recharge your energy
be? Okay, where do you get energy from? What are the possible sources of energy that are available within your environment at that time?
Your sensory, maybe?
What? Who said that? Peter?
Yeah, I said maybe your sense memories.
Yes. What else? Your environment.
Drink.
You've always get, yeah, there's also, you know, food. You've always got the energy, the polarity of heaven and earth. You've got your fellow actors and your crew. You know who Alan Alda is, the actor Alan Alda? He's been around a long time. He was in MASH, the television series. He's done lots of films and lots of plays on Broadway. I listened to him talk once, and he said he always gets energy by talking to his fellow performers or the crew. And he said, I'll have a stagehand. I'll just be waiting off stage and I'll just be talking to a stagehand just to get the energy moving and to have an exchange and then transfer that right into the action. He talked about filming the television show MASH. He got the whole cast to do this. They'd be waiting for them to set up and they would get into these discussions that would sometimes turn heated, almost like into an argument or a disagreement, right up to the point where the director said, action. And then they would start the scene from wherever they were at that moment. I thought that was a really fascinating way of generating energy. Now, the last possible source is you and your intention. You're generating energies all the time. The idea is to be able to figure out what quality and quantity you can generate in any given moment. And this can happen, I mean, you'll get better at it the more you practice it. It's just a lot of repetition. My energy's low, I need to be high. One way is, oh my God, I am so exhausted, but I've got to go do a high energy scene, and I've got maybe 5 minutes to prepare. Whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to do at a fast tempo. Because that fast tempo can raise your energy, and it can also appear to an audience as high energy. Understand? There's the appearance of high energy, and then there's true high energy. for me, if I'm excited about something, I don't care what it is, my energy level just goes up. I'm like, oh yeah, this is great. So excited. I'm charged. So excitement, curiosity, these are the two ways that I will raise my energy. If I'm working and I have a closed space, I will find anything in my environment that is so fascinating. I'm so curious. How does that work? Look at the design. Oh, it's smooth. It's so cool. Oh man, I could use that like a dart. Now I'm starting to get curious and excited at the same time. My energy level just picked up. Just by using curiosity and excitement, you generate that within yourself. Now, sustaining it is another issue. Just like trying to sustain a given state of being in a scene. You can use a sense memory and get yourself in that state, but it changes very quickly. So you might have to re-engage that object of attention again to spark that energy again, or not. These are all strategies. Okay? Are we ready for five? Great. Let's say five. Okay. I wanted to make a quick distinction between, a lot of times we may feel our energy is low when actually what we're feeling is overwhelmed. Overwhelm is the inability to process our experience in that moment. You could have pretty high energy and feel overwhelmed by circumstances. And if you don't know how to process overwhelm, one common internal strategy is to begin to shut down or to fragment, but like suddenly feeling tired and sleepy. When I was hired for my first Broadway show, in rehearsal, I think it was like the first day or two in rehearsal, I was so overwhelmed because it was just so foreign to me at that moment, and the stakes were so high in terms of, I'm working with such incredibly talented people, and I just felt like everybody was so much more experienced than I was and so much more talented than I was. And I would start yawning uncontrollably. Yawning, just. And the rehearsal director looked at me and said, "We keeping you up? You all right? What's going on, Ron?" And I was like, I don't know why I'm yawning so much. And I later learned that that was me feeling overwhelmed and starting to want to shut down. And the yawn was a way to instinctively activate the breath, keep my energy alive and moving. It was very interesting. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to get up and do the form once on the left, once on the right, and then you're going to write about it for 1 minute in neutral. Here we go. All right, take a deep breath in and stop. Now, we're going to engage in a listening exercise. Starting at the first chakra, at the base of the body, the root chakra, and working our way up to the navel, solar plexus, heart, throat, forehead, and top of the head. We're going to start at the bottom and go up. What I want you to do is do the form just to the left side, the side that you don't have to think too much about. And listen to the first chakra as you do the form. After the form is over, just make a quick note about whatever you experienced, whatever you sensed in the first chakra. That should take no more than 30 seconds to write. Then go to the second, and then write for 30 seconds and work your way up to the top. We have 15 minutes to do this. It should be more than enough time. Any questions about the exercise? Starting at the base, Shear.
The first chakra is
The pelvic region, the base of the body. That's 1, 2, 3, 4 is the heart, 5, 6, 7 top of the head.
Okay.
Okay, we're bypassing the Dan Tien. Peter.
So are we still trying to observe like our feelings, sensations, thoughts?
Yeah, but your primary focus is going to be on the chakra of the moment and see what you can sense or feel. So you start with the first one.
Okay.
Be aware of it, focus lightly on it, and breathe. Colin?
You said we're skipping the Dantian?
Yes, skip the Dantian. Lyric, any question? Okay, here we go. Now, this is all at your own pace. I'm going to start the clock. All right? On your own, go.
Because, I mean, there was just a lot that I got from all of that.
That's great. Do you feel overwhelmed at all?
Not really. It was all just like, in general, it feels like a martial, like it's starting to feel like a real martial art now. Like I didn't feel that last semester.
Yeah.
But now I feel like I'm defending it actually a lot more than I was before.
Yeah. Well, this is internal self-defense. This is learning how to defend yourself from yourself. Our own tendencies to overwhelm ourselves. Or to attack ourselves habitually, to generate fearful, worst-case scenario narratives, to indulge in anxiety beyond a certain point, okay? And really, you just have to develop an awareness first of what's present and what your tendencies are. And only then can you start to make adjustments. So today was really about learning the value of tuning in and connecting to self as a whole person and listening to what was present. Also observing how you respond to that. You know, what it makes you feel, what it makes you aware of, or how you interpret that. That's all part of the process. I think you were very successful at it today.
I mean, I was really intrigued with the crown chakra.
Uh-huh.
Like,
yeah, great.
Because while I was doing it, I felt like I was like basically showing something that like if it tried to attack me, I would beat it.
Uh-huh.
It was weird.
That's great. That's great. So every time you practice and focus on a different chakra, you make a note of what you discover. All right? And we want to observe that and acknowledge that discovery with as little judgment or expectation as possible. It may not make sense to you in the moment, but it could be a significant connection that you made that triggers something, like what you're just describing.
Yeah, okay, great. Thank you so much, Ron.
You're most welcome.
A lot of stuff that I thought was like really cool that I might email you about it, we'll see.
Sure, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Peter Zhao?
Ron, I'm just feeling very delightful right now because, I forgot to say it in my comment because I almost forgot it. So in the first neutral set, I said my toe was hurting me because it was hurting, actually. Mm-hmm. And then, like, at the second neutral set, I was, like, I was just commenting, I was saying how engaged I was. And then just after a while I spoke, I just realized my toe wasn't hurting at all. Like, I was checking it. It's still, like, I don't know. I was checking it. Like, the toe was, like, just not, like, it's not painful anymore. And I feel like my energy was back. And I was fully present. And I was in a very positive charge.
That's
very, like...
That's a very significant experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. So make sure you make a note of that.
Very, like... meaningful to me about like this toe experience.
Yeah, well, but everything's a gift, you know.
Yes, thank you for all the instructions.
You're welcome.
Yes, I'll see you next Tuesday.
Okay, bye bye.